Hey, everybody. Just a quick note before we get started from the ethics department. This episode features an interview with Right Stuff's CEO and president, Sean Kleckner. They bought ads a little while ago. We scheduled this interview a couple of months ago, long before they had bought any ads. We didn't want to cancel it because we've had Sean on the show, you know, every year for the last 4 or 5 years, and we thought people still would want to hear from him. But we have removed the sponsorship from this episode in order to avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest. ANCAST does not require sponsorship to exist. It's nice when they happen, but we would never let anything like that compromise our interviews. So there is no sponsorship on this episode. Thanks, y'all, for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show! Everybody, welcome to ANCAST. I'm Zach Birchie, old friend of the show. You may have heard of his company before on this podcast. It is the president of Right Stuff, Sean Kleckner. How's it going, man?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Just fine. Doing real good over here. It's been a while. It's been like over a year, I think, since we last had you on. It's usually around like right before the holidays. So we're excited to have you back. How's it been going? How has 2015 been so far?
Well, 2015 has been a busy year.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff happening over here as well. You know, everything from just normal business and licensing and a lot of the work that we had done here on our website and internal systems. So, yeah, this has been a busier year than normal even. And, you know, but lots of positive results. Very happy with how things are going.
You went through a huge change on the website.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't just the website. We actually replaced pretty much everything. You know, figure you bought a nice car and decided to take everything out of the inside of it and put something else in. You know, the systems that we had internally, there was code that went back on some of those systems back into the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the pieces were deprecated. And we just decided that it was time to move on from those and get to something that gave us a little bit more expandability than we had in the past. You know, the system served us well, and you know, I'm certainly not going to say that it didn't have its own quirks. It was a lot of different pieces that were kind of hooked together, and this is more integrated. It's going to give us a lot more capabilities over the course of time.
Now, okay, maybe my characterization of this is wrong. You tell me, but I would imagine that Right Stuff sort of being located where it is in Iowa, I would imagine you have people who are there for a long time that stay with the company for a very long time.
Yeah, we have quite a few people here at the business that have been here more than 10 years. So
were there a lot of growing pains? Because I know that, like, whenever we make major changes to the CMS at A&N, having been there for 10 years myself, it is like, oh, geez, it's the worst. Because then you got to get – it's like muscle memory, the way you used the old system. So I can imagine it must have been kind of tough.
You mean in terms of just getting switched to the
– Yeah, just switching over to the new thing.
Well, I mean – any type of a big system change like this is, you know, there's always going to be problems no matter how
right.
much you plan for it.
Yeah.
And we started working on it, you know, different pieces of what we were working on here, you know, we've been working on for years.
Right.
So to see it come to fruition and actually come out and be available and actually in use is pretty nice. It's a nice deal. But, yeah, there's trepidation when you say, hey, by the way, all that stuff that you were doing yesterday and how you were using the software and your processes and procedures you were doing, yeah, we're just going to throw those away. We're going to start over and do something else.
Right. Yeah.
Change is scary, and it, you know, eats a lot of time. There's certainly been a lot of overtime over here.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been very, very pleased with the performance of the staff here. These guys have come up to speed with new processes and new systems here fairly quickly. We've, you know, there's been a little bit of rockiness, but with any type of system change like this, you have to expect that. But when you think that we rebuilt the entire web store, everything that sits behind it, all the way down to returns processing and how orders get picked and, you know, every single possible piece, I'm really happy with it. You know, there's a lot of things that we still want to do and that we need to keep going on our development. We do have people, developers, that we're working on new stuff every day, and we're continuing to focus on getting the site to add new features and so on. But the base ability for us to grow, moving on to some more modern infrastructure, really is going to be fantastic. I think we're going to have a lot of room for that. You've seen that just in terms of adding more products. I mean, we have a much larger figure selection now that I'm very, very pleased with, and that's doing real well for us. And we're able to offer different services that we haven't in the past. And I've got a number of things that are in the pipeline over the course of the development plan with what we've got going on in the next few months that hopefully make people pretty happy. But like anything, it's a process.
Right. Okay, so let's kind of get into the meat of it. We always want to know what your top sellers were. So what performed really well in the last year?
Well, I mean, let's just look at stuff that's fairly current. I mean, in terms of people that are interested in what's selling.
Yeah.
On the anime side, you've definitely seen, the new Dragon Ball movie has done well. New Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon continues to be very, very strong. But we can look at things like No Game, No Life has done well. Beyond the Boundary. Tokyo Ghoul, we did really well with that. Noragami. The new Love Live that just got announced is already selling really well. I'm real happy with that. And,
right.
When you add on top of that, I'm really excited about how Gundam is doing. I'm very pleased with that. If we go into the manga side, you're looking at Tokyo Ghoul is probably the top seller. And I think that was a surprise even to Viz because it had to go into immediate reprint.
Right.
Monster Musume and Akame ga Kill. Food Wars did really well. So, I mean, there's a kind of a wide variety of different products there that have done really, really good, I think, for, and that's good for us and for the market.
So with Gundam, the stuff you have currently out, because you announced this huge thing last year, it was at Otakon last year, right? Where you announced the big deal with Sunrise, where you're going to be releasing Gundam on home video here in the States.
I think we did it at AX, yeah, it was last year.
And so this year we're finally sort of seeing the fruits of that labor. You've got Turn A Gundam out finally, which, I mean, I appreciate that because I've been waiting kind of forever to see that show because it had been hyped up beyond belief over the years. Like, oh, if you're going to see a Gundam, you got to see this one. So you finally put that out. And then just recently, this month or last month, you put out the first part of the original Mobile Suit Gundam 0079 on Blu-ray. So are those meeting expectations? Are they exceeding them? I mean, Gundam's a tough thing in the States.
Well, I hear a lot of people say that, but I don't see it as a tough product. I mean, there's a built-in fan demand for it. People are really interested in the product. It's got a wide range inside of itself and just the types of Gundam and types of shows that are there, whether it's a Universal Century or the others. We did put out Turn A first. I did that on purpose simply because that was one that had been announced, kind of a carrot thrown out in front of the fans and then grabbed away.
Right.
So we got that one out first. We did release the movie versions of those also, and then like you mentioned the 0079. We have the original series, and then we have it on DVD and Blu-ray, and then the movie versions also coming out. So. And that's just this year's stuff. There's plenty of Gundam yet to come.
Well, okay, so like any company, I'm assuming that Nozomi and Right Stuff, you operate, when you license something and put it out, I assume you have projected sales for those titles.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, are they doing better than you expected?
Turn A did about what I expected, probably a little higher, but keep in mind that the life cycle, that's pretty short, and it's only been out for a few months.
Right.
The original Mobile Suit is well beyond what I'd expected it to do already.
Really?
So I'm very, very pleased with that. The response on that seems to be really good. Even if you look over at our competitor Amazon, it has a fairly high rating in terms of the overall anime disc sales terms of its positioning.
Yeah, that's nice. It's nice to hear that because more often than not, you find out it's like, well, we put out this ancient show and we kind of did it for us. We sort of knew it wasn't going to, necessarily be all that profitable. But to hear it doing well, that's good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I put out a lot of ancient shows, some of which I put out because I want to, and others because, you know, I think they're going to do well in the market. I'm not in the business to lose money, obviously. That doesn't make any sense. But this title I knew was going to have strength. I mean, there are so many fans in the market today. I mean, the original releases of some of these products goes back for years. I still get email from people saying, hey, you know, I remember watching Gundam when I was a kid. I'm so happy to see this come back. It was on Toonami back in the day. There's a whole new generation of fans that have not seen this before, that haven't been exposed to it at all. You add that to the people who are just happy to see it back again. I mean, I think that the quality of the product that we're putting out is high. You know, some of the discs that were produced in the past maybe didn't have that level of quality. So, I mean, I think that that's been something that I have to give the kudos to our production staff on, because they really, really are. You know, their fans back there, they're making that product not only for the customers, but they're making it for themselves. And a lot of effort is put into that, especially with this show.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think that the reputation for Gundam just, like, straight up not being a decent seller? I mean, maybe that comes from the Bandai Entertainment days when they had crazy expectations for it. And, of course, it didn't quite meet those. I mean, I think that's kind of where that general idea comes from, is the fact that it hasn't ever really caught on here in the way that it has in Japan, of course. And during the Bandai Entertainment days, maybe it wasn't quite as strong a seller as they were hoping. Maybe that's where all that comes from.
You look at Gundam in Japan, and, you know, you just can't compare the U.S. market to the Japanese market. They're not the same. I tell that to Japanese all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't expect that you're going to have the same sales in Japan as you are going to be here. You know, the market's completely different. The pricing schedule is different. The way the products are consumed is different. You also have to look at the time frame that some of that stuff was released. I mean, the heyday of anime, when it was in every store on the corner, you know, this type of product isn't necessarily the same type of product that some of those others were being consumed at that time. So, I mean, I do think that the product is very mass marketable. I think that it has a wide audience. Now, in terms of the expectation, you know, whether Bandai had a higher expectation than what it is, I mean, you know, I'm sure that that was set for them by Japan, in terms of we're really thinking that you should sell this much. To my knowledge, you know, from working with Sunrise, they're happy with the numbers that we've put together so far.
Cool.
So, you know, that's kind of the gauge that I have for it. It's met my expectations. The sales are where I expect it to be, and they seem happy. So as long as we keep that going, we'll be in good shape.
And you have a nostalgia bomb hidden in there. You've got Gundam Wing waiting. Like, I mean, the expectations on that one must be much higher, because it does have, like, that is almost, it's not like Sailor Moon, but that is a Toonami show from the turn of the century. It's weird to say that now, turn of the century. It's a Toonami show from the turn of the century and turned, like, people into anime fans. Like, it's like an Outlaw Star or an Escaflowne. Like, that's a big one. So
absolutely.
So are you going to?
I mean, look at the resurgence that you're seeing just with Sailor Moon, though. I mean, these products are coming back, you know, for the people who watched them when they were kids, and they're coming back for people that are wholly new fans that have never seen this stuff before. And absolutely, right. I mean, Wing is going to. If you look at the Gundam universe as a whole, I don't really think that there's probably one that's going to sell better than Wing.
Right.
You know, that just from the content as well as the fan interest. I mean, I used to say that for when we were selling Astro Boy. People said, well, I don't understand why you're selling Astro Boy. Well, I'm selling it to, you know, people that were nostalgia people, and then they're introducing it to their kids. I mean, that still is the same today as it was back in the, you know, the 90s and the 80s when we were selling that product. But if you look at the fact that there are so many people that haven't seen this show and you know, just the interest. I think there's more interest in this than people think. When you come back to this, well, it's not a seller in the States. Nobody's interested in it. I just don't think that's the case.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just kind of been an unfair characterization over the years that Gundam is sort of this extremely niche thing. I mean, we just ran a huge article that was one of our writers is sort of a Gundam expert, and I asked her, hey, run down the whole franchise and tell me what's worth watching, because I've always wanted that, you know, as a casual fan of Gundam. I like Gundam a lot, but I'm a casual fan, to be sure. And I was like, just, you know, tell us everything that ever came out that's Gundam. Tell us whether or not it's worth watching. And she did, and it did huge numbers for us. And I was wondering, like, is Gundam coming back? Is it seeing, like, a resurgence in popularity with Americans right now? I don't know. But it's interesting to watch.
Well, if you can look at Star Wars or Star Trek, I mean, Star Trek would be probably a best example. You know, there's lots of people that are casual fans of Star Trek, and there's people who are, you know, uber fans of Star Trek.
Right.
Okay. Even in the people who are hardcore Star Trek fans, they may like certain series and not others.
Yeah. So they're not going to buy everything.
With Gundam.
Yeah. You got some people who will just buy everything. But that's a small,
bless them all.
Yeah, right. Those are your favorite. Yeah.
But I mean, even if you look at this also, I mean, price point wise, there's a lot of content that you're getting here on a Gundam disc that we're releasing here versus, you know, the price point in Japan. I mean, and I fought really, really hard for that. I mean, putting these discs out has been a challenge because they're much more expensive in Japan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just not willing to put the price point on these so high that they're not available to a more wide audience.
Okay, yeah. All right, so that aside, did anything kind of underperform, things you had high expectations for and maybe didn't quite crack the numbers that you were hoping for?
Well, I mean, number one, I'm going to tell you right out of the box, is JoJo's.
Really?
You know, I really thought that was going to be super, super strong. But, you know, there was no Blu-ray, you know, number one. The marketing for it really wasn't, you know, where I felt that it needed to be. You know, I thought we'd do a lot more with that, but I think the way that the product was released just was not, it wasn't suited to the anime market. It was a mass market type product that was put out there. You know, I think if a nice super, you know, collector box on that had been put out or something that was, treating that property with more, you know, anime-centric focus, I think it would have done better than it did.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what else that I'd want to say was an underperformer. That one's a tougher question.
Well, on JoJo specifically, we have Orange County, where I live, is home to a number of retail anime stores, which still exist here for some reason. Yeah, that was a big thing in the 2000s. Now they're all gone, mostly. I found a store in this mall, and they have, like, oceans of bootleg DVDs, just miles of them. I went in there, and I was browsing through it, kind of laughing at the funny bootleg covers, and that JoJo's release, the Warner JoJo's release, was in there among them. And I honestly thought it was just a bootleg. Like, I hadn't seen it in person. So I pulled it off the shelf, and I'm like, man, this looks zero effort bootleg, and flipped it over, and I'm like, oh, all right then.
Well, that's kind of interesting, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'd never like to hear about big stores full of bootleg product.
Well,
you know,
right.
You know, it all comes down to the way that the focus of the product. And I definitely would say, and I'm sure that's something we're going to continue to have discussion on here, but, you know, you're seeing a change in the marketplace for, you know, the consumer of the anime products. You know, as the core demographic kind of splits into two or three segments of, you know, older customers, newer customers, there's a collector mentality that's come back into the market that we haven't really seen since the, you know, the 90s,
right.
You know, where the market really started as, you know, being for collectors. You know, the market has returned to having more of a focus on the collectors versus the, we all have to be in the mass market. We all have to have our product at Walmart. It all has to be at Best Buy. It has to be Suncoast. You know, and the advent of the internet and the advent of different content delivery, like streaming and something has really changed the anime consumer demographic and purchasing activity in a sizable way.
Right. Well, speaking of that, or speaking to that rather, so there have been a lot of collector's editions coming out over the last year. You've had, Beyond the Boundary came out. There was a Tokyo Ghoul one that actually I think got canceled or pushed back. Yeah, it was recalled. It was a Darker Than Black, a Full Metal Alchemist one that was like $300. So they're kind of, the industry at large seems to be pushing these kind of big expensive collector's editions. Are you seeing a sea change like towards that? Are you selling more of those? Like, do you think the consumer base is heading in that direction?
Well, I mean, you've got a couple things there. One, obviously, you have some of the other companies in the market that have kind of had a focus on that for a while, like Anaplex, where they have the higher priced, more high end versions of product. And I'll be honest with you, Japan pushes really heavy for this. I mean, they feel that the product that we have in our marketplace is underpriced.
Okay.
And if you look at Japanese prices, you're going to see that. And part of the the reason that we see some of these products is simply the basic economics and how the products have to be released in order to get the versions the fan wants faster. I mean, if you want the Blu-ray, you're going to have holdbacks from Blu-ray, and if you want the Blu-ray quicker, the easier to get the holdback shortened is to have the price higher. There is definitely a strength in the collector's edition. We do sell an awful lot of those. I think that the core collector market has definite interest in those products. They are higher quality. They do have a lot of extras that go to them. I mean, if you look at just recently, you've got the two Sentai collector's editions that sold out before release date. The Persona animation collector's edition was sold out at wholesale, I think, a week before the street. The No Game No Life got a reprint because it sold out its original print essentially before street.
Right.
So, I mean, there's definitely an interest and a demand for these products. Now, do I think they're going to go out and sell 50,000 units? No, I don't think that's the case. There's a clientele for those products, and I think that they're getting served. But, when you look at the cost issues, I mean, $150, $200 box set or even $125 box set is well out of the reach for the, general fan base. Some of that, I think, is picked up by the availability of product at the streaming level, especially given that so much of this product is available on a legal streaming method now at this point. I think some of it also comes back around to secondary releases where the product is then released at a slightly lower price point or a significantly lower price point to take care of those fans that have that more heavier price sensitivity. Now, I think we're going to see more of these, not less. I think that you're going to see more of the publishers in the market focusing on trying to push these out the door more quickly. And I think part of that comes down to the customers want this product and they want it right now, and there's certain limitations that are put on the publishers in order to make that happen. And if the limitations are going to be there, you have to make it at least of value to the fan that's going to purchase it. Versus, say, I'm going to have a huge price point, but I'm going to give you a bare-bones disc that has nothing.
Right. Huh. Well, that's interesting. Do you think the industry has figured out the size of the market for that sort of product yet? Like, are they overprinting? Obviously, they're not overprinting them, but show by show, I'm sure it's case by case.
Well, yeah. I mean, every product is going to be different. I mean, yeah. Doing a high-end release for some products probably would not be a good idea, versus others that, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Right.
Do I think that they've figured that out? No.
Okay.
I think that's kind of an influx thing right now because you have to kind of get a feel for the product as well as the clientele for it. But I think they'll zero in on it fairly quickly. I don't see that as something that's going to be – there's going to be huge gluts in the market for some of these products. But I also know that it's fairly quickly been figured out that you don't place mass market retail for $150 SKU.
Yeah, right. I mean, you're going to wind up with a warehouse full of $250 collector's editions. Some show nobody ever wanted. Okay. Well, that's interesting. And in terms of predicting sales and sort of determining market size, you've talked about this a lot on this show, at streaming panels and stuff. You've always been very outspoken about streaming and whether or not that actually helps physical sales. And I'm curious if you've thought about that anymore or if you have any new evidence one way or the other, this time.
Well, looking at a couple different things. One, people continue to tell me, well, Sean, physical media is dying. Nobody wants to buy DVDs anymore. That's really silly. Why would you even want to make them? And the fact of the matter is 2015 had stronger DVD sales than we've had for 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely been a resurgence in that. So, I mean, there's more DVD sales. We're seeing more DVD sales this year than we have the year before. And that's actually been consistent every year for, you know, years. So for the prediction that physical media is dying, I think is a fallacy. I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
Now, we did go through and do a survey and asked, you know, do you watch streaming? You know, if so, what? How does that affect your purchases of these products? And you know, we found it kind of interesting because you went through. There's a significant percentage of people who are watching and then purchasing. You know, that percentage is, you know, can be 50-60% where they say I'm going to watch, and this is biased obviously because you're doing it based on a survey, but there is definitely a percentage basis of people who will watch, and a percentage basis, probably 20 or 30 or 40%, that'll buy more because they have watched that streaming. Now, if you go back in the day, you know, if something was on Toonami, for example,
mm-hmm.
I could guarantee you the DVD sales on that were going to be stronger than if it wasn't.
Right.
Okay, so they could watch it on Toonami for free, so why would they buy the DVD then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's really no difference here other than the streaming services out there have become Toonami. They
right.
are the TV presence for this product.
Mm-hmm.
And when people go out and they watch this stuff and they like it, they want to keep it. They don't necessarily want to go back and have to restream it or wonder if it's going to still be there, because obviously these things come off on the services. They go down off the services from time to time, and they want to be able to have it physically in their hand. And I think that there definitely is a sizable percentage of fans out there that are more likely to buy after streaming. I think the availability of the streaming sites has definitely allowed the anime community to grow. I think that having that product on streaming fairly quickly, especially in terms of simulcasts and so on, has given the anime consumer a much wider availability of product to look at, consume, and decide what they like, and use those decisions to buy either similar products or those products themselves when they go out and decide to make a purchase.
Huh. All right. So as you're thinking, so it sounds like to me, maybe your thinking on this has evolved a little bit.
Well, I do think that they're two different customers too. I mean, there are plenty of people who are going to watch streams and never buy.
Right.
I mean, I always talk when we do our planning and stuff. You've got the people who will never buy, the people who will buy products because they're the casual buyer. You know, like kind of like you mentioned earlier, they're interested. They may buy certain things.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that will buy, you know, a lot of different things, and there are people who buy all the high-end collector things and or everything.
Right.
And again, God bless them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, there is distinct, you know, customer segments, and in the past, my thinking has been there really are two different customer segments, but there's a lot more crossover, I think, as time has gone by, and I definitely see that now.
Have you noticed at all that it, you know, whether or not it depends on the streaming service? So does anime that shows up on Netflix sell better because that streaming service is dramatically more widely used than any other?
I'm not really, I don't know that I've ever done a statistical analysis to tie that down to the specific streaming service. That
right.
would be an interesting study, and we'll probably have to do that, but I don't know that I have a good answer to that right now.
Because I think
the availability on streaming, I will definitely see as a growth pattern. The other one that I want to point out that probably isn't really thought about is the availability of streaming also bumps manga sales. You know, if there's a streaming available of a title, I can see it. I can definitely see an impact on the manga for that title in terms of sales.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think that's just sort of standard. I mean, if an anime comes out, you know, One Punch Man now has an anime, so sales of the manga have boosted. I'm sure they've boosted for you as well. Like, they must have, right? And if it's a popular show and it's good and people like it, that must be, you know, do even better.
Well, again, it makes, that only makes sense.
Right. Yeah, for sure. That would be interesting, though, to see if something, because I remember there was kind of an expectation that Knights of Cydonia was going to sell particularly well. For Sentai, because it had been on Netflix. But who knows?
Yeah, you know, again, I'm going to have to go back and, you know, it raises a very interesting question. I definitely will have to to go and have a look at that, because now that you've mentioned that, I'm kind of interested myself. I really have just focused on whether or not it's available on a streaming service at all, not tying it down to which particular one.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I'll have to check it and maybe report back in a future episode.
So this is a little left field, but I was very curious to know if you had any data on what shows had the best selling merchandise in particular, because nowadays, if I walk into a you walk into like a Hot Topic, that store is going to be like a third anime, and it's all mostly going to be Funimation product, and they've got a ton of product in there, and it's all for the same, three or four shows. And I'm wondering if you had any data on merchandise sales and like what you could count on to move some merchandise, not DVD aside, like DVD and Blu-ray aside.
Okay. Well, I mean, in terms of merchandise, there is a fairly limited selection, and that is kind of frustrating to us. I mean, I would love to see more merchandise in the market than we see today.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that comes down to, the asking price of merchandise rights in Japan. Part of it comes down to the number of manufacturers that actually will license and make merchandise for products here.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into a Hot Topic, you're going to see, top five or top 10 strongest merchandise franchises, because that's what they know is popular. They're willing to take the risk on that, put up money to manufacture products and so on. So I mean, in terms of top selling merchandise right now, I would say you're looking at perennials, One Piece, Naruto, Sailor Moon, Fairy Tail, Sword Art Online. You're definitely going to see the stuff that's the perennial stuff, Dragon Ball Z, obviously. It's really unfortunate that there's not more additional stuff out there, and I think that's kind of that untapped market that hopefully will be tapped soon. Part of that also comes down to the way merchandising is done in Japan also, because by the time that the show reaches here, even at at simulcast, the merchandise is in Japan, sold, and then they've moved on to the next thing. So it does become tough in that area as well. In terms of other merchandise too, I mean, the other thing we're doing is, we're adding more merchandise to our website all the time. And like I mentioned earlier, we've a significantly larger figure selection. But I see things like Kill la Kill, Tokyo Ghoul. Obviously, those are going to be strong, I think, merchandise wise. And one that I do think is really kind of interesting, I have to say, is Free.
Mm-hmm.
The female demo is actually coming out on some titles now that's kind of interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well, ladies like genre entertainment too. So when you make a show for them and it appeals to them, they're going to buy stuff. It's nice.
Right. But I mean, think about how many of those titles there are.
Not many.
There just isn't a whole lot of products serving the female demographic, and I think it's fantastic. I hope more of it comes out.
Yeah, I think it's going to take some publisher taking more of a chance on the Fujoshi stuff. You're going to need to see a lot more of these come out a lot faster, and I don't think it can just be like a Sentai Filmworks sort of quickie release. I think someone's got to put some marketing dollars so people actually know this stuff exists, because all the things you're talking about, all that merchandise, it exists in droves in Japan for all this Fujoshi stuff. I mean, if you want Amnesia merchandise, you can have it. There's tons of it. But it's just that hasn't crossed over. Free is maybe the first example of a show really seriously crossing over with the Fujoshi market here, and there's a ton of merchandise for it available. So that's good. Maybe we'll see more of that once people realize women have money too, and they want to spend your stuff.
The women demographically tend to gravitate more to the books than they do the DVDs. I mean, statistically we see that. But at the end of it, and there definitely is, a bigger merchandise market, or excuse me, merchandise market, a bigger manga market on some of those things. Even if you go into, the boys love stuff, which is always popular. But you're right. There's just not a whole lot of product that's tied to that market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like to think we serve that market in a lot of ways with some of the slice of life products that we put out. Cause, I mean, I think they're good shows,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's Tamayura or Monogatari or Piano or Aria. These are all titles that I think have a wide audience in terms of just being feel good anime. And I think mm-hmm. that they're great shows. And I wish more people would check them out. Not only just because there are shows, but because I think that it would be something new and interesting that they might really enjoy. But I would agree. Free is probably one that kind of has broken that barrier, and I'll be curious to see if there's other ones that follow it.
Yeah. Well, there's only more and more Fujoshi stuff being made in Japan, so hopefully it'll come out over here a little bit more often.
I just wish that the merchandise was more prevalent. I mean, frankly, I think there's a dearth of merchandise here, and there's a huge untapped market for that. A huge untapped market for it.
Well, that I think you're right, but at the same time, like we're in an economy right now, or at least in a situation with the anime industry where there are, you know, 275 new shows a year. Of those, three actually seem to really catch on. Of those, two of them will have merchandise that will come out 6 months after the show is off the air. Like,
right.
It's, you know, it's so one and done that even if a show is temporarily popular for like a few months in the spring, I wouldn't make merchandise for it because people will have forgotten about it and there's no second season planned 2 months down the road. So, like, it's so one and done that merchandise must be this nightmare gauntlet of, like, risk for a company that's looking at this stuff.
Well, I mean, you have two places, I think, that are the place that you have to have the merchandise. One is at the simulcast. I mean, we have to get merchandise out in the market when the product is being initially consumed. The second touch point is the release of the physical goods. But if you put that merchandise out, you know, 6 months after your DVD comes out, you're right. I mean, there's a new release-driven marketplace, the anime marketplace is new release-driven. There's catalog and there's new release. And when you get into a position where your merchandise is already catalog, then, yeah, it's not going to fly. If people have moved on to something else. So that is, again, I think a big challenge that the market here has is how do we get that merchandise flow to hit those two touch points?
Yeah, which is also rocking a hard place, because if you have a show and you're like, okay, we think this is going to be a huge hit, let's make a bunch of stuff, and it comes out and it's on shelves at the same time, guess where all that stuff is going when the show doesn't quite hit in the way you wanted it to? Clearance
bin. There is definitely risk.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it used to be here. Like, a studio would bet big on a movie. They would produce a ton of merchandise for it. If the movie didn't quite go, that merchandise is just... It's kind of a symbol of failure, collecting dust on a peg in like a Target or something. It's always a huge risk. Merchandise is a tough market.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so how would you personally characterize the anime industry in America right now? Like, do you think we saw a little growth in 2014 in terms of disc sales? Do you think things are still pretty peachy? Like, how are things?
That's a pretty broad question.
It is, but you have like a things are good right now sort of overall.
I think that the industry has kind of recovered from the dip.
Yeah.
That we had a few years back. Do I think it's recovered to the level of 2005? No, I don't think it'll ever hit that again.
No, of course not.
But the market as a whole, I think, has stabilized and has moved back into a growth pattern. That growth pattern is not a growth pattern of, you know, quadruple or double-digit plus growth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a slow growth. I think you're seeing people come back to the market that had essentially abandoned it for a while, you know, when we went through the nothing but moe product phase.
Right.
So, I mean, I think in all, I think we're back to a stability and with some growth. I mean, it's nice to see new clients coming in, new customers coming into the market that are experiencing anime for the first time, and to see the collectors continue, you know, return to the market and say, well, look, now there's some new content here I have some interest in.
All right. Okay. Well, that sounds like a pretty good prognosis to me. Like, slow growth means that you're not, you know, there won't be a bomb going off in like a year. Right? It's not like this horrible bubble thing where
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that it's, you know, all perfect and good though either.
Sure,
I mean,
of course.
The price of this product in terms of buying and licensing and bringing the product over here has gone up substantially over the course of the last even year.
Absolutely.
So I mean, there's a risk pattern that is developing again only because there's demand. And you can't return to 2005 pricing with 2015 sales. So, I mean, there's going to have to be a continued practical viewpoint from the publishers that are in our market as to realistic expectations of that slow growth that I just mentioned.
Right. So when are you going to get on a production committee?
I don't see that happening.
Tomorrow, right? okay. All right.
Good luck to them with that. I mean, I think that there is definite economic advantages to doing that in terms of being able to kind of guide products to be more internationally sellable. If you're going to be on that production committee, than it is if you're just buying a product that's been made essentially for the Japanese market with the international market being an afterthought.
Right. Yeah, it's a good position to be in. It's also sort of a natural reaction to the license prices going through the roof. Like,
absolutely.
It's much better to just be part of the production committee instead of paying.
Well, it could end up being cheaper over the course of time. You never know.
Yeah, who knows? All right, we got a lot of Twitter questions. We better get to them. So let's get to these. Okay, Thundersnapper asks, whether they were or weren't available for Region 1 before, what factors come into play when deciding what older titles to bring to North America?
Well, I mean, availability is going to be one. A lot of the older titles are harder to clear because those titles are the production committees most likely have long since disbanded, so you have to figure out who actually is the person who controls the rights that you want to exploit. I look at those products in terms of, do I think that those have a marketability here? Do I think that we can make our money back in terms of the production costs? Is there interest? The standard things that you would think of in any business model. I mean, if you buy a product, is it going to sell enough for you to make some profit on it? Is it going to be something that people are going to have interest in? And then, of course, with the, can I actually figure out how to clear it?
Do you think at this point that the past has been kind of pretty thoroughly strip mined of the stuff that's valuable?
Well, I mean, you're getting into things over the course of the last couple of years. I like to say I pioneered some of the let's go out and find the classic stuff, but I mean there's a couple publishers obviously besides us that are now mining that material. Even if you go to Legend of Galactic Heroes, which was announced this summer, that has kind of been that panacea for years that people have wanted to see come to our shores. But there's only so much catalog out there. Do you get into more and more obscure shows over the course of time, then it's harder and harder to market those older shows because they're not really known. There's not a fan base for it. There's lots of catalogs still out there, don't get me wrong, but it is a finite resource, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. It increasingly over time, people are, when are they going to put out all these old shows? And it's like, it feels like most of that's been licensed and it has been re-released recently or has a re-release on the horizon. Well, like, there's a finite number of Nadescos and Cardcaptor Sakuras out there, you know?
I would agree, but, I mean, there's always root search.
God, is there? Okay.
Now, I'm gonna commit here on your show today that I will not license that show.
Okay, well, see if we can get everyone else to sign that pledge, and then I'll be sleeping easy. But until then...
You know, somebody might pick it up someday. I mean,
I'll be shaking my fist at Discotech soon enough for that one. Okay.
You get down to that level, then you can say definitely the strip mining has been finished.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, this is depleted, guys. Enough. You're going beneath the barrel now. All right. So I didn't ask this directly, but a few people wanted to know if you had any kind of a timeline on Gundam Wing and if that's even could be considered for Blu-ray.
If Gundam Wing, when we get that far, will be on Blu-ray.
That far, so it's a ways out.
Well, you got to keep in mind that the Gundam universe has a lot of Gundam. It takes a while to work through all that Gundam, and I'm going as fast as I can. I mean, we have literally a new Gundam coming out every single month for months.
Yeah.
If I start doing three or four Gundams at a time, we're going to run into a problem at retail because people can't absorb it fast enough.
Yeah, sure, but
if I put Gundam out constantly, people aren't going to have any money to buy it because you got to have some level of time frame here. I mean, we've already announced a number of Gundams beyond what what's out now, so you got to give some time to work through the entire Gundam universe here. I think it comes down to I got to go out and procure materials that probably haven't been touched for 20 years.
Yeah. I think you should just get used to being asked this until you announce it.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I know what people are interested in
right.
Gundam. I mean,
yeah.
The question I used to get was, well, which Gundams are you going to put out that haven't been out yet? And then I come out and specifically said, well, guess what? You know, Zevil Zeta is coming.
Right.
You know, After War X is coming. Victory Gundam's coming. So, again, there's a lot of Gundam to go through.
Yeah, there sure is.
You know, let's just kind of go through. Consume it as it comes.
Yeah, right.
I'm going as fast as I can. Like I said, the materials delivery has been our biggest challenge, especially if you get into some of the older Gundams, as well as a lot of the. We kind of went with this two-track method to kind of give you the method to my madness here. What's the stuff that's already been out? And what's the stuff that's never been out before?
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll kind of see that two-track method as we go.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting. Let's see here. Thundersnapper also asks, I think the answer to this is obvious, but maybe it's not. At what time of year are things very active for you at Right Stuff?
Now.
Right.
business will obviously increase for us from now all the way to the end of the year and well into the first quarter. I mean, fourth quarter is big for everything. So, yeah, now is the busy time. Obviously, middle of the summer is usually the slowest time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the reasons we chose that for making some changes.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Okay, Giuno Tenshi asked this, I think, in response to some criticism of the Gundam Blu-ray that just came out. He asks, will you be giving anime Blu-ray releases proper video quality treatment, maximum 5 to 6 episodes per disc with a high bit rate?
Okay.
So,
well, I guess number one, I really haven't heard a whole lot of downsides to the Blu-rays we put out in terms of video quality or anything like that. But if this person feels that was not high enough quality, I'd love to understand why they feel that way. In general, this was our first Blu-ray. I think our production people did a fantastic job on it. We are doing these on BD50s, not 25s. So you're probably looking at somewhere between, somewhere around 8 to 10 episodes on a BD50 that you can do at a high bit rate. I don't anticipate us looking to squeeze, 26 episodes on a single disc or anything stupid like that. But I mean, I want to make sure that we do present a high enough quality disc with bit rate that we're not going to run into a compression artifacting or anything that looks bad.
I mean, so I kind of know what this guy's talking about. I've seen that Blu-ray, and I noticed some slight compression artifacting a little bit, and the DNR on it, the digital noise reduction on it, was a little overactive, but you were working with 16mm film elements, and so it's not going to look... like, on the disc, you have a piece of promotional footage that I think is from the opening that's from a 35mm master, and that looks incredible.
Right, but that's not what the main show has.
Right, but you don't have the show on 35mm.
Yeah, that was specifically made. In fact, the people in the office said, can we strip that off and put it on the front? And I said, well, no, we can't because of the way that it's built.
Yeah.
But the 16mm print, I mean, you can see all the film grain on the thing. You can see the scratches on it. I mean, I didn't go back through and try to clean that stuff up. I think it looks just as good, if not better, than the Japanese release does. You're going to have some level of that. The noise reduction and that kind of stuff, that's going to be inherent in the masters that were provided.
Right.
I'd love to say that we could have 35mm, high res, super high bit rate, high def. If that stuff was on 35, then yeah, we'd have that.
Yeah, it's a tricky.
You're looking
at
film prints that go back to the 70s.
Right. Yeah, this is really old stuff. I mean, to me, like, there was kind of like, well, but the show isn't going to look... If you did absolutely no noise reduction, it would be a nightmare. And if you did more than you did, it would look worse. So it's about as good as I think it can really look. In my estimation, I don't think it's perfect, but it's good enough.
Nothing is perfect at all. We want to make a quality product, and I think our discs have a good reputation for that.
Yeah.
And we're going to do our best to make sure that that stuff looks as best as we possibly can.
Right.
Can we have reduced a couple of episodes off of a disc? Oh, maybe, I suppose, but I don't know that it would have been much of a difference, if anything. We get into some of these other Gundams, obviously we're going to have more episodes, so we're going to have to spread it across more discs, because I'm not willing to cram, as I've seen on some of these guys, 13, 14 episodes on a Blu-ray, and I'm going to do that.
Yeah, please don't do that.
we'll do it as kind of that balance.
AbZero now asks, any chance that one of Nozomi's titles will warrant a new English dub?
Well, obviously that depends on the product that we were able to obtain.
Right.
It has to be economically sensible for us to do that. I get this question an awful lot. I get a lot of people that'll say, hey, you guys suck. You didn't put a dub on this. I'm not buying anything if it doesn't have a dub on it. You kept it from somebody else buying it and putting a dub on it. Well, economics are economics. I mean, the fact of the matter is that there's a certain clientele for different shows. And, we do the effort to look and see what is that clientele, what do we think that the sales volume is going to be, where are the customers for the product, what's the demographic. And dubs aren't cheap. They're significantly expensive. And if I can't break even with this, at the extra sales that we would get for adding the dub on there, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, I feel like this has been explained a lot, that a dub has to...
You got the dub, the people that really like the dubs. I get it. I understand exactly where they're coming from. I wish we could dub everything. If it was 2005 and the sales volume was in that era, I think it would probably be easier. But there's only so much that we can do. And, we're not the only place putting out only sub-only stuff. I mean, there's a reason for that.
Oh, yeah. At this point, everyone does, I think. It's just the dub has to be justified. It has to be justified. It has to be a justified business expense. Otherwise, you're literally just making bad business choices.
Well, I don't really want to go out of business next week.
Yeah,
I
mean, right.
You could really whack yourself hard, making two or three dubs that cost $250,000 and then not recovering that expense.
Right. Giuno Tenchi wants to know if you're going to be coming out with more collector's editions of stuff on Blu-ray, for example, Utena.
I definitely think you'll see us go that direction, yes.
So will the Blu-ray for Utena just be a slightly smaller version of the DVD, for the collectors? That would be cool.
Slightly smaller?
Yeah. Well, the package
is
smaller.
What do you mean by that? You mean it'll just have a little, it'll be like a mini DVD box?
Well, it'll just be Blu-ray sized, right? The current ones are DVD sized.
I'm not 100% sure what we're going to do with that when we get to that point. I mean, it really comes down to making sure that we make a high-quality product. I want to make sure the video looks really good and that we could conclude as much stuff as we can. But, I mean, these collector's editions and collector's versions, obviously people have interest in that, and that's the type of title I think definitely warrants it.
Yeah. All right. Absolute Zero asks, any chance we'll see more ESHK anime from Nozomi or Lucky Penny soon? He loves that Tamayura got licensed.
Well, I mean, we have kind of focused on some titles like that, and I think that there's been a number of them recently that we've put out that you could probably classify that way. It just depends on what becomes available to us and what we think that we can license at a reasonable price and put out in the market. So we keep our eyes on that type of product just like anything else.
Right. Land of Obscusion wants to know, with Princess Nine and the upcoming Big Wind-Up Season 2, are you looking to do more sports anime, anything other than baseball?
I don't know. I can't really answer that question in terms of anything other than kind of what I answered the previous one. It really comes down to whether we think that we can put a product in the market and have it recover its cost. There's a lot of really obscure sports anime out there.
Yeah.
Historically in the market, sports anime has not done well.
Mm-mm.
But the market changes all the time, so it's very possible some of those can do better. Big Wind-Up kind of was, in my opinion, one of those things where you had a title that went out. I know that it underperformed in terms of expectations that Funimation had for the product, but I think there still was an awful lot of people that bought it. They were kind of disappointed that they couldn't finish it with the other portion of it, and that's one of the reasons why we brought it out. I think that when that comes out next year, people will be interested in it, and that I can kind of gauge what that interest is so we can make decisions based on other acquisitions.
All right. Daniel Zelter wants to know if you are going to license City Hunter. Obviously,
you do not like City Hunter, Zach. Is that your thing? Or?
That show is enormous, and you'd have to put out a giant like crate of DVDs to get the whole thing out there. It's a long ass show, right?
And it is a long show, but I mean, so is Yakitate and some of the others that we've done.
That's true.
I think it's a good show. I mean, I know that we talk with Sunrise quite a bit, and that's one of the things that we had. We've looked at that particular show along with a number of the other classics that have been out in the market, and I think there's a fan base for it. So, yes, no, I don't know. I mean, it really just depends on what we think the would be good value for the customer on that.
Yeah, City Hunter's fine. I wasn't disparaging City Hunter. It's a perfectly fine sitcom. Okay.
Well, I should just play the game. I can't confer or deny.
Yeah, I appreciate that you don't use that.
I guess kind of been overused at this point.
A little bit, yeah. It's a little played. Okay, our horseman asks, how is the print-on-demand manga doing?
Well, you know, I still have not been able to get a lot of people on board with this, and I don't know if it's a resistance from the Japanese side or not. I know that us pushing really hard on this has caused the domestic publishers to keep their stuff in print better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just because they don't want to do POD with us or what, but I mean we have some stuff that's out there. You know, I would love to do more of it, and I'm going to push it harder again if I continue to see the products go out of print in the middle of a series, but. All I'm getting back on this point is well, you know, we think it's interesting. We really like to do it, but and I think that's disappointing because there's a lot of product in the market. And, you know, the other thing I think that would be good with this is to put out products that maybe would have a smaller fan base. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of great manga out there that may not sell 20,000 copies and may not be cost effective to throw out through a regular web press, but on a POD press, you could certainly, you know, bring products to market that otherwise might not see print. And, you know, that's kind of some of the things that we've been looking at.
All right. Big on Anime wants to know, are the reversible covers and inside art like in Turn A Gundam Sunrise is doing or yours?
Well, we always fight for as much art as we can get. It just comes down to whether or not we can get the packaging approved.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to have the, you know, art all over everywhere, but sometimes, I mean, there's times when we get a show and we get one piece of key art and that's it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get one piece of key art and that's it, and then you try to figure out, well, how do I make packaging out of that? Well, it can be a real struggle. And it's really frustrating because you know there's art over there. You
right.
know there is. But either they don't clear it for use outside of Japan or they just don't want to provide it or whatever. So we fight for as much art as we can, and anytime that we can do additional art on whether it's a back cover or other, you know, other pieces that we would include or art libraries on the discs or whatever, we certainly will do that.
Yeah, the Turn A Gundam stuff looked great. I was really happy that the you used that really wonderful art that was made for that show on the discs. Those are just fantastic illustrations.
Yeah, I really thought they came out well.
Okay, hang on just a second while I get the second round of Twitter questions. Okay, here we go. Vinny of AGC asks, are there general rules for which Gundam gets Blu-ray and which doesn't?
Well, I mean, are there general rules? Yes. I mean, we're going to fight to do it based, again, on economics. If the title is going to be strong, we're going to try to get it into the Blu-ray as much as we possibly can. There are more Blu-rays planned for Gundam. It really is just going to come down to a lot of times it's availability of material, it's availability of high definition material, it's availability of English language tracks, and so on.
Right. Yeah, materials being available, I would imagine, is a big part of that.
Well, a lot of the Gundam series have been released on Blu-ray in Japan.
Right.
So, I mean, that's helpful, but sometimes access to those materials is a little more complicated.
Right, exactly. They got to dig out the cardboard box in the back of a warehouse that it's in somewhere.
well, it's not even really just getting it. It's more, well, you know, this person made it, and these rights aren't cleared,
right,
and
yep.
these things didn't do that.
it's always, yes.
And, well, we got to have a discussion with the committee, and then we got to decide, and, you know, it's that way on every show. Every show. Yeah, we made this special thing, and it's only for Japan.
Yeah, right. Okay. The Nerd Closet wants to know, well, okay. He's phrased this as, why did you decide to start making silly viral videos? But that question answers itself. Because you're attempting to market your business. But I think more like, when and like how did you come to that decision?
Well, you know, internally to our business, we try to create a corporate culture that's fun. I mean, we're in the entertainment business. And, you know, we were doing stuff internally to try to focus on, you know, fun in our business and fun for our employees and having an environment that is conducive to that. And to me, that's the same that you would do with your customers. I mean, if I'm going to work with you and I'm entertaining to you, then you're going to want to probably come buy from us. And, you know, I'm more than willing to make an ass of myself. I've done it several years in a row and continue to do it. And my singing voice is just so fantastic. I mean, who wouldn't want to listen to it? But the fact of the matter is it's entertaining. It's fun. And if I can't have fun doing my job, then, you know, I might as well go do something else.
I was just, you know, that comes to mind. I would purchase and you should sell the Sean Kleckner, like, Christmas album where you're singing standards. And you can just sell it through your shop.
Sean Kleckner's Golden Throat.
There you go.
You know, yeah. You got the, what was it? Wasn't it Shatner that did that or something?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Right, yeah.
I don't think that's probably going to be a career path that I'm going to be able to choose if I ever leave the anime community. But at the same time, it's fun. I mean, they still get a lot of views on our YouTube channel. We did one for Back to the Future Day, which I know what you think of Back to the Future Day. I've seen it.
okay.
But, you know, I did get to drive a DeLorean, and that was fun.
Right, sure.
You know, if you can connect with people, I think that's a good thing. I mean, we're not some nameless company that you have no connection with. You know, we care about our customers. We care about the products that go to them. I like to say that we're a company that's you know, ran by fans, exists with fans for fans. Mm. And if you can't get into a position where you enjoy what you're selling, you know, I mean, I could sell blenders and toasters and, you know, diapers and whatever like other people do. But that's not what we do. We sell anime, we sell entertainment, and that's the type of company that I want to be involved with.
Okay. Amagi2100 asks, what is the status on a special system for collectors who want additional safety for product shipment? Had you discussed this previously?
I think what this person is referring to is, in the past with the old system, we did have a way to mark products for collectors where they would pay a little bit of extra in order to have some, you know, have their products you know, delivered in a different fashion, or make sure that the books that they received were double and triple checked to make sure there wasn't, you know, that they were absolutely super perfect. You know, we do that anyway. I mean, to try to make sure that we deliver the best possible product to every customer. There are certain people who are even more discerning than others in terms of what they want. We are working on trying to have like a white glove that you could add, you know, to, you know, your account that you would have as a service. That is something that's planned, but I don't have it ready to go at the moment.
You need to get him to pay for a courier service that you personally deliver the item, and they got to pay for your airfare and a hotel, and then you personally show up and deliver it. See, there you go. It's a couple $1,000 on top of the.
Can that particular customer be in Hawaii or perhaps in the Caribbean somewhere? Because that would make it a lot easier for me to make that trip.
That kind of commitment, yeah.
Especially in, like, January.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, hey, you know, move, write stuff out here to L.A. It's nice all year round.
You know, if I was going to do that, maybe I'd just move it to wine country and I could sit and go on wine trips every day. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Penguin Truth asks, when are we going to get those Zeta Gundam Blu-rays? I'd pay good money for those.
Okay, well, how much are you willing to pay for them? That's the question.
Okay.
the Zetam Gundam Blu-rays will be the next Blu-rays up.
Okay.
So you'll see them early 2016.
All right. Well, that's cool news. Okay. Lindsay, who works for us, she wanted to know how much crap you got for the Sailor Moon April Fool's joke a couple of years ago. Oh, quite a bit, if I remember correctly.
Well, you know, the funny part was I did predict the future. Now, perhaps you should consider I know some stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
we did get an awful lot of crap about it. You know, people who were very unhappy that we were in some way making fun of them or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was all supposed to be in good humor, but, you know, again, it didn't take long before the information came out. So I hopefully that was at that point, maybe they said, well, you know, maybe we wasn't poking too much fun at us.
Right. Speaking of which, Viz just announced that they are having a serious problem with their most recent Sailor Moon release and have announced a disc exchange, I think, for the video error in the most recent Sailor Moon release. Will Right Stuff be replacing all of their copies? Like, are you currently shipping that set?
Well, at the moment, yes, we are shipping that set. We're trying to look to see what can be done about that. I know that Viz is going to have a specific recall of that product, so they're going to look to probably pull that off the shelf everywhere.
Okay.
And the Warner will handle a disc replacement where you'll be able to call and get that disc replaced. You know, we're not going to handle the replacement program,
yeah.
So to speak, but, you know, I would love to be able to figure out a way to get those discs and be able to ship them, you know, as soon as possible. I'm not really sure that the replacement discs have even been manufactured at this point. It is unfortunate that there's a problem there, but, it looks like they are going to step up and correct it. And as soon as I can ship discs that are good, I will definitely do so.
Yeah, they got right out in front of that. So, you know, when they announced it, I'm pretty sure they didn't have anything ready to go yet. Like, they're fixing that problem now. So, yeah, not quite ready just yet.
Well, I think actually the fix is already done. It's just a matter of getting the material manufactured.
That's what I meant. Yeah,
and I think that may already be in progress from what I understand.
Right, of course, yeah. Excellent. Okay, that is actually the end of the Twitter questions, and it actually wraps us up. So that does it. Thank you very much for coming back on the program. We will try and make it so that it is not yet another year before we have you on again.
Well, I'm always happy to come on and chat a little bit about how things are going and you know, listen when I'm not on to your fabulous voice when you create these wonderful commercials.
Yeah, well, you know,
perhaps you should do some singing.
You know, spoilers, Sean. Spoilers at this point.
No, I mean the anime market as a whole is, I think, in a good place, and you know, I feel privileged to be able to work with the customers. I mean, that's one of the things I enjoy more than anything else, and talking about the products and seeing people excited about the new things they're getting, and you know, I've been doing this. I mean, it'll be almost 30 years here in a couple of years.
Oh, congratulations.
So, I mean, that, you know, you were talking about feeling old. Every time I think about that, it's like, oh, wow. you know, it's a fun thing to be involved in. It was fun to be at the birth of that, and it's fun to see it continue to grow.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always good to hear that, like, well, things are stable. I think those of us who were around for the giant crash are still nervous about it. Like, you're still nervous. There's still, like, an underlying kind of, well, that was really bad. Let's not have that again.
Well, nobody wants to see that happen again.
Right.
You know, the fact of the matter is that at any time, you know, if there's an economic crisis here or in Japan or whatever, things could change.
Right.
Seeing the products, you know, come out in the simulcast form, and we're moving to the more international type of product for the most part on some of these new shows that are coming. I think that helps a lot, and I think that it's nice to see that we're getting this new generation of anime fans coming in that are in their teens and 20s that are now able to experience the catalog, the wide breadth of the product, and the other material that continues to come out, while also continuing to bring back people in the fold that maybe have left us for a while, or who have stuck with it the whole time, you know, such as yourself.
So that actually wraps us up. Once again, Sean, it's a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks. I appreciate being invited, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, that's our show. Thanks to Sean for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a rating or a review. We'd really appreciate it, and I'll see you all next week.